Chapter 54. In the next brief night, Sally actually managed to sleep a little, a thin survival blanket over her body, her head on her backpack. She was woken by her own coughing, smoke in the air tickling her throat. She opened her eyes. Lying on her side, under her blanket, she was facing out of the little camp and looking at the trunk of a long dead tree, wrapped in an equally dead strangler fig. But there was movement inside the fig, in its shadows, dimly visible in the dawn light. A small face poked out of the lattice of wood, a long snout, big eyes. It seemed to study her, as if she might be a threat, or an opportunity. Then the creature scuttled out into the open. It wasn't much bigger than a mouse, with smooth brown fur, but with big, powerful back legs, like a miniature kangaroo. It sniffed, looked around, froze, and then leapt into the air, clopping its jaws closed around some insect, and landed and scuttled back into the shadows. Lubsang touched her shoulder.
One last dawn, one last chance for the furballs to hunt.
Still lying under her blanket, she said,
All coming to an end today, then?
I'm afraid so.
The ground lurched, and Sally, lying there, felt herself being lifted up, as if she was a child in a stepwise footprint of Wyoming, and her father had scooped her up in his arms. The rise went on for seconds, pinning her to the ground. Then, just as suddenly, it stopped. She gasped, and the land fell, surely through several feet. She landed hard on her back.
Up you get.
Lubsang stood over her, hand outstretched. Feeling very elderly, Sally accepted the help. But then she pushed her feet into her boots, grabbed her pack, her multi-pocketed jacket and her hat, and was ready for action once more. Stan was already on his feet, grinning.
The end credits?
I think so, Lubsang said.
I don't suppose there's any point asking what's for breakfast.
Sally smiled.
It's your show, Stan.
Where do you want to be?
He pointed upwards.
Top of Manning Hill again. We may as well get the best view we can.
Good, said Lubsang. I'll lead the way. I know the trail. But watch out for fissures. And if there's another tremor like that big one, throw yourself flat.
The view from the top of the hill was obscured by drifting smoke. Overhead, clouds streamed like a speeded-up movie effect. From up here, Sally could see that the remaining buildings of New Springfield were shattered now, heaps of splintered timber, and along the line of Salisbury Creek, a deep fissure had opened, revealing the glow of lava. The spilled water hissed and boiled. Lubsang said,
Look at that! Our place was destroyed early by the winds at the top of this hill. Now the rest of the town is gone.
Shaken to pieces, Sally said.
I'm sorry, Lubsang. George?
He shrugged.
Fire, said Stan.
He pointed.
There! There! There!
Whole swathes of the continent-spanning forest must be alight now. Sally saw how the fire was spreading, the trunks of mature trees going up with whooshes, like splinters of kindling. In one place, she thought she saw movement, heavy animals on the move. Those big birds the colonists had spoken of, presumably. They'd survive this much, then. She pointed this out to Lubsang.
But there's nowhere for them to flee.
No, the fire's spreading. Joining up. When it surrounds this hilltop, we'll be trapped.
I suspect that will be academic, Lubsang.
There was a tremendous groan from deep within the hillside, as if the rock itself was stressed beyond endurance. Again the ground lurched, dropping this time, and Sally stumbled, almost fell. Even when the drop was over, the ground continued to shudder.
Down! Stan shouted. Let's sit down! That way at least we can't be thrown over.
They hurried to comply, sitting in their tight witch's circle, on the shaking ground, holding hands firmly. Sally watched the clouds washing past the sun. She was convinced she could see the sun itself shift across the sky, visibly. So fast was the world's rotation now.
1 hour, Lubsang called.
What?
when the day is reduced to a single hour. That's when the rocks at the equator will be moving so fast they'll effectively be in orbit, and the air will start leaking away. The final breakup will begin.
But we won't get to see that, Sally said. She squeezed Stan's hand.
Not long now.
Good, he said fiercely.
You have no regrets? I'm dying young, he said, his face screwed up against the dust-laden wind. I didn't get the chance to say all I needed to say. I hope that my words will do no harm in the future. I needed more time.
He shook his head.
But I also needed to be here.
Lobsang was staring.
Chakpa!
Sally looked over his shoulder. She saw that as the tremors worsened, swathes of landscape at the bottom of the hill were breaking up, almost liquefying, and the surviving forest was sinking, square-mile chunks of it vanishing from sight in clouds of dust, as if it was falling through wet cardboard. The noise was all around them now, the howling wind, the roar of the fires, the rush of huge masses on the move. She remembered the little furball living in the fig, and she hoped it had had time to enjoy its last meal, had got back to its young before the end. Stan looked at Sally. He had to shout to make himself heard.
What did Lobsang say?
She grinned, remembering a voyage through the gap long ago.
Tibetan swearing, I think. Is that right, Lobsang? Lobsang?
Lobsang was sitting stock still, as if hypnotized. Sally grabbed his chin, pulled his head to face her. His eyes, an old man's roomy eyes nested in wrinkles, were blank, vague, as if he had succumbed at last to long earth syndrome.
Go! She yelled. Go! Before you lose yourself! Now!
She slapped his face as hard as she could.
Ow!
He raised his hand to his cheek. Then he grinned at her.
Good luck, Sally Lindsay. It's been a privilege.
His eyes rolled back, and he tumbled stiffly over, a puppet with its strings cut. And the ground dropped from beneath her. Not by a few feet this time. It dropped out of reach, gone. For a heartbeat, she still had hold of Stan's hand, but he was torn from her grip, and they were whirled apart. Then she was falling in midair, in the smoke and the ash, as if she were a moth over a campfire. The ground below was gone altogether. Her world was three-dimensional now, with only fire under her, and gushes of steam and white-hot sprays of what must be liquid rock, and around her trees and chunks of cooler rock, falling as she was, and above her, clouds that boiled. She was tiny, a mote in this immensity. But she had her hat jammed on her head, her pack on her back, and she saw, in the last instant, a human figure. Stan, it must be, flying as she was, and he was waving his arms and legs, starfishing in the air. She thought back on her life, all that had happened to her, all she had seen, all she had done. She was Sally Lindsay, pioneer of the Long Earth and the Long Mars, and she'd never planned to die in her bed. What a way to finish! Falling in the hot air, she yelled in exultation. Flame licked. The moth was consumed.